In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm very much convinced that the reason that the vast majority of people are unhappy, in fact, I would go so far as to say 100% of the people that are unhappy, is because they have expectations for things that are not as important as the things that they don't have expectations for. They think of their world in what they see, what they hear, whether or not they have a good job, or whether or not they have a good marriage, or whether or not they have a new car, or are healthy, or anything else. They're looking at the world as it is now, and their reward is now. This is even people that walk through doors of churches. This might even be some of us that are looking for things now. Now, you might not say that, you might say, Father Seraphim, I'm looking for the kingdom, I'm a Christian, I'm struggling. But look at the way you spend your time. Look at the way, the things that you do, the things that are important to you, the things that you know a lot about. I'm not counting about your job. If you have to learn technical things about your job, you got to spend time doing that. But what about other things? What about if you know more about the plot lines of a TV show than you do about the gospel? Well, it's not necessarily terrible to know the plot lines of a TV show. But to not know the gospel, that is a terrible thing. So what you put into life really is what you take out. Because we are becoming something, aren't we? This is what Christianity is. It's not just believing something. It's not some sort of official status or a legal status. It is that Jesus Christ came so that we could become invigorated, alive, pure, holy. He made us capable of this by living that life himself, and then transmitting that ability through baptism. And then we are to live life to the full. But life to the full for a Christian is different than life to the full for someone in the world. Someone in the world would think that someone in prison is not living life to the full, or being persecuted is not living life to the full, or sick or something else. But for a Christian, the criterion is, are there fruits of righteousness in us? Then we are living life to the full. Because if there are fruits of righteousness in us, then that must mean the Holy Spirit abides in us. And if the Holy Spirit is in us, he is the comforter, which means he comforts us, which means we are aware of God's presence, and we are aware of his love for us. I wish I had a nickel for every single time I have encountered someone who doesn't feel the presence of God and doesn't know why. These are good people. These are not terrible people that I'm talking to. Why is it that they don't feel the presence of God? I'm absolutely convinced, and this epistle basically supports this idea, or should I say that I got the idea from the epistle. It's not that I don't need anybody to support my idea in the gospel. I should know the gospel and what the gospel teaches, and then, God willing, teach it to you. But this idea is that if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And if you do these things, then you will abound to every good work, as St. Paul says, and then your heart will be full. And if your heart is full, then there is no unhappiness. Now, there might be difficulties in life, very many difficult things in life. And emotionally, you might go through periods of time that are difficult. You might even have some depression and other such things. But if you have God abiding in your heart, you feel him. But God only abides in a heart that is working towards him and with him. So I submit to you, are you listless, or have you been listless, or despondent, or unbelieving, or kind of dull, not feeling things? The reason why, for you and for me, for everyone, is because we are not struggling to live in righteousness enough. We are not thinking more about our neighbor than ourselves. We are not loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And we are looking to things that are not permanent for our satisfaction and for our pleasure. If we look to permanent things, then we are blessed even if our external circumstances are very difficult. the reading, we read three readings last night in the Vesper service, and one of them is that reading that we read so often about their going forth seem to us as utter destruction, but they are in peace, referring to the saints, referring to the martyrs. So you might be in a situation that somebody says, boy, I'm glad I'm not that person. But if God abides in your heart, then you have warmth. Then you have the God communicating with you, so you feel him. So every time that you have something that is where you're out of sorts, it is because of sin. It's because, really, of self-centeredness. Now, there might be a specific sin going on, but in general, there's this kind of overwhelming amount of sort of vanity in our life, pride, hubris, self-interest, and we're not happy. We're not happy when we are like that. And if we're aware of that, then we can fight it. But oftentimes it's very stealthy, and we're not aware that we're really living in a self-centered way, even though we might, you know, be helping others and reading the scriptures and going to the services and everything else. But we're not, we don't have our eye on the right prize. This is what St. Paul's epistle is speaking of today. St. Paul, I'll be honest with you, maybe I shouldn't say this, he's not my favorite author of the New Testament because he's hard to understand. I love St. Peter. I love St. John. They're very easily accessible to me to be able to understand, even though St. John's gospel is the highest prose of the entire universe, and the depth of it is impossible to find. But so much of what he says is very clear and very forthright. St. Paul says a whole lot of stuff that's like really complicated, and then suddenly you see that he has the same exact spirit as the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter, the same exact spirit, because he says things which are just so beautiful and so clear. And this is what he says today. He says, he who soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. That's pretty easy to understand. And we really do understand that in our life. When we really care about someone else and put our life into them, then we will receive benefits. Maybe not from them. Maybe not. Probably not. But your soul will be warmed by God. And that will be the benefit, the reaping that you will do. So he says, he continues after he says this, this principle that is just easy. It's easy. And yet people don't understand it. It's the kind of principle we apply in school, or if we we're trying to learn an instrument or something. If you don't practice much, guess how good you're going to be at the instrument? Not very good. We understand this principle in the world, and yet in our own life we don't understand this principle. He goes on to say, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And why would we do this? Well, I'll tell you the real reason why. He gives the blessing that comes from doing this. But that's not the reason we do it. The reason why we give is because God abides in our hearts. Because God gives. I've given this example to you many times, and I apologize if it seems tedious to you or boring, but to me, it is a wonderful thing to see a mother's love. It's different than a father's love. It's in the, especially in the early years, more intense than a father's love. It's a biological, spiritual phenomenon. And when a baby is crying at 3 a.m, that mother is going to get up and going to feed her baby, comfort her baby, walk with her baby, sing to her baby, whatever is necessary, because she loves her child. Even though she's had no sleep that night, she will take care of her baby. It will happen. It's a certainty. Why does she do it? Now, if you ask her, she says, my baby was crying, or my baby was hungry, or my baby was dirty. That's not the reason. The reason is because she loves her baby. That's why. Now, obviously, because she loves her baby, she takes care of her baby's needs. And of course, she's getting up so the baby can eat, and the baby is crying, and the baby needs to be cleaned, etc. But the primary, the only reason is because she loves her baby. So we give to others cheerfully because God loves us, and we love others because His love abides in us. Now, if you don't have that feeling in your heart, then just force yourself to do it. Give, and if you're a little grudging, well, it's better to not give at all. But repent of that. Come to confession and say, well, you know, I helped someone yesterday, but, you know, I didn't like it. I kind of grumbled inside. All right. I'd rather have you grumble inside and help somebody than just be indifferent to them. At least you're beginning on the path. But the reason we give is because God has given to us. We love Him because He first loved us. Therefore, we give. And we give bountifully. And we don't give out of this idea of necessity. I better give or else I won't go to heaven. No, you give because it's in your heart to give, just as it's in a mother's heart to take care of her child. And what will God do? If you have this love abounding in you, which is His love coming out of you, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having full sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There is the prize. The prize is God's grace abounding in you so that you abound to every good work. That phrase, good works, which is so slandered by so many people. They don't understand that doing good things is because God is within you who is good. How can you not do good if God is in you? And if you do good, then there is a feeling, a manifestation of God in your heart that you're aware of. So you don't feel dull, and you don't feel sort of unfeeling, and you don't feel sort of like listless. Now, we all have those feelings because of our sins, but I'm talking about sort of this happening just sort of as an ongoing feeling. Many people live with this kind of thing. So if you're living with this kind of thing, then look outward. Look outward to your brother. Look outward to the brother that's not so easy to take care of. Love the unlovely one and struggle to give the love of God to them. And even if you don't feel the love of God in your heart, God will help you. If you are trying to give His love to others, He'll help you even if you don't have it abiding in your heart. He'll come to your heart so that you can give it. And then you'll start to have warmth in your heart. And all this grace will abound, and you will abound to every good work. This is your purpose, to abound to every good work. Because if you abound to every good work, then don't you know the one who is good? Because by experience, you know Him. You can't know humility without being humble. You can't know love without loving. Any of the virtues, you can't know them unless you practice them. So the reward is that in practicing the virtues, we become like the one who, shall we say, is the virtues. Or at least is the source of the virtues. We can't really say God is anything. Not accurately. We can approximate. We can say God is love. God is light. But He gives to us the virtues if we are struggling to give to others. So this is a great privilege for you to do. So I want to tell you, I would speak of him tomorrow, but you know, I'm thinking of him today, of my friend Paul. Now, he was in prison many years, I think 29 years, I'm not sure. It was a long time, different stints in prison. And he was got out of prison, I guess it was about 18, so would that be 14? I think he's been out of prison 4 years. And he married Kay. I baptized him and Kay and married them. And Paul had a heart for people in prison. He helped numerous people, probably numberless people. It's hard to know how many people he helped with legal matters. He was kind of a jailhouse lawyer, very clever. And he knew how to kind of game the system. He knew how to get to TDCJ and get them to do things that other people didn't know how to get them to do. Because he was just a little bombastic, kind of loud, abrasive to those whom he was going against, that's for sure. And an absolute just sweetheart to those that loved him. And he sowed bountifully. My experience when people get out of prison, they kind of go do their thing. There's a hamburger place on every corner. They gotta get a hamburger every 2 minutes, no matter what day it is. And there's other things they can be doing, and they lose track of themselves. I'd say the majority of people that I've seen come out of prison. Paul, not at all. Paul, because he had a heart for others, he sowed bountifully. And I believe he will reap bountifully. Now, he's not exactly the greatest example of what an Orthodox Christian should do. I have a lot of funny stories about Paul. One of them is I was going down the highway. I was near Athens, Texas, which is right near his house, but I wasn't able to stop. And he says, "Oh, Father, you know, I'm putting steaks on the grill. Would you like to come over and have dinner?" I said, "Paul, it's Wednesday." And he said, "Oh, I forgot." When he says, "Oh," you know, with that loud voice, I just about blew out the top of the car because he's so loud. And he just didn't always remember those sorts of things. But he did remember to love his fellow man. And that's what you need to do. There's a saying that I have. Pretty much everybody in this room should know it. Maybe Jonathan hasn't been here long enough to hear it, but now he's going to hear it too, because I say it so often. If you can't stop sinning, at least be kind. This is how we save our souls, by sowing bountifully, and we indeed will reap bountifully. God will always return love for love, always. So you live in a way that is love. You look outside of just your little sphere, your little bubble, and you see people around you. They need a word, or they need a shoulder, or they need some advice, or they need some money, or they need some help moving, or they just need somebody to not treat them like they're weird, or something. This happens every day. These people are around. And if you sow bountifully to them, you indeed will reap bountifully, not from them, but from God. Now, are you concerned about if you give your money to people, your time to people, your labor to people, what happens about you? Will you run out of money? Or if you labor for someone and you have a big test in the morning, maybe you won't do well on the test, or maybe you'll be too tired for your job in the morning, or you're all concerned. Well, St. Paul addresses that. So he says, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Now, if you read this carefully, of course, he who gives the bread is God and the seed. And he will increase the seed sown and increase the minister bread, literal physical bread, the things you need for your car payment and for your dinner and for your house. He will minister to you the things that you need. But what is the primary thing that he will give to you? He will increase the fruits of your righteousness. So if you're always living with that idea, this is what you should be trying to do, all the other things fall into place. I remember when I wasn't a very good student the last year in college. Not from partying and everything, but I just thought I was going to go save souls all the time because I was with this Protestant group, and then I saw they didn't really know what they were doing. But I was lacking one class. And then I get married and I do this and that. Finally, I took that one class, which was physical chemistry, after 10 years out of school. And I couldn't even remember the calculus. I had to really study hard. And we had a lot of services in our church. And if I had a test the next day, I still went to vigil. And if I was asked to do something for somebody, I still did it. So there are many times that I didn't study that night, or I was literally had an hour of sleep, 2 hours of sleep, worked all day, and then went and took the test. I got an A in that class. Because I think God was just trying to show me something. Not that an A makes any difference. Does it matter that I had an A in physical chemistry? No. Because an A and an F equals a C, basically, right? It matters that God showed me, "See, Seraphim, you did the things you were supposed to do. I took care of you." And that's just a physical chemistry class. He'll take care of you in all of your life. He will enrich you in everything to all bountifulness. Now, if you have all those things, then according to St. Paul, this all causeth through us thanksgiving to God. And that's what we really need. If we have thanksgiving to God, we have this wonderful feeling of safety, this wonderful feeling of God being with us. And it comes because we are living in the world, struggling to sow bountifully. This is why we do these things. Not because of necessity, but because it's in your heart. And if you don't do what's in your heart, then what are you doing? You're living like a person who does not know themselves. So live according to what's in your heart, which is the love of God. Sow that love of God bountifully and expect to reap bountifully God in your heart. And then you'll have a good life. You'll have a happy life. You'll be saved. And not only that, but those around you, many of them will be saved too. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.